Please join me. Heavenly Father, we do pray for Bill. We thank you, Lord, for his long life and all that he has accomplished, for the important role that he's played even in the development of this place that we call North Umpqua Bible Fellowship. We pray for his life and for his sense of value as a child of yours, and even as his capacity to do many of the things he used to do may be declining, Lord. We pray that you give him reason to carry on and hope for his own future. We also pray for Carl with much the same in mind, Lord, that he would find in you the grace to go on, that his faith would sustain him, and that he would continue to find hope in the promise of your gospel, even as he sees those around him whom he loves going home in ways that probably cause him to consider his own life and where it's going. So. Now we want to pray, Lord, about this time that we have together as we purpose to study your word. We want to thank you for the Bible and for a copy in our own language. It is a privilege to read freely, to reflect deeply, and to be challenged always by the truth that we find there. Please guide us this morning by your Holy Spirit and inspire us for the days ahead. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Back in November of last year, hundreds of earnest, sincere Americans assembled together in Dallas, Texas. It was the anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and these folks were gathered at Daley Plaza, the place where JFK had been shot. The stated expectation of the group was that JFK, or perhaps his son, JFK Jr., would appear alive and lead a political revival. This was expected to happen at 12:29. Needless to say, the time came and went, and no one from the Kennedy family, dead or alive, ever showed up. But many of these folks remained, hanging on. They stayed in hotels. They gathered each day for the much-anticipated appearance in accordance with regularly revised predictions. Ease and tension in their own hearts because the reality of their situation clearly conflicted with their strongly held belief called resonance. Their beliefs about what would happen conflicted with the reality of what didn't happen. But rather than change their beliefs, they rejected their reality. They were so committed to the idea that these things would happen, they rejected all the new information that conflicted with their existing beliefs. That is cognitive dissonance. It's where the conflict between reality and our beliefs about reality can't be resolved. And rather than changing our beliefs to conform to reality, we simply redefine what's real. It's an indication of our great capacity for self-deception that we can do these things, and it reveals the potential for depravity that lies within our fallen flesh, each one of us. This morning, we're going to read about another case of cognitive dissonance involving Jesus and a group of Pharisees. Luke chapter verses 14 through 23. Verse 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the story opens with Jesus in the process of casting out a demon. Now, as Luke puts it, the demon itself was mute, but this description of the demon, apparently it was not just the demon who was mute. Instead, the very presence of that demon possessing that person had caused its victim to become mute as well. Now, Luke doesn't say whether. Beyond that, I kind of wonder to myself, who would suffer more? I mean, the conventional wisdom is that, or at least seems to be, that women talk more than men, using about 3 times more words each day than their male counterparts. You know that notion can be traced back to a book entitled The Female Brain, published by a woman back in 2007. And while that conclusion may or may not conform with your own experience, most research since then has actually debunked that claim. Nevertheless, we should pause to reflect for a moment on the importance of speech in the life of all people, men and women. You know, spoken language is one of the things that distinguishes humans from mere animals. It is one of the things that binds us together in relations, unable to each other share our thoughts or effectively participate in conversation. Of course, there are some obvious ways to mitigate such problems, but in fairness, power of speech. And remember, language itself has existed since before creation. First, leapt into existence. So it is that the capacity for speech is part of the way that we as human beings reflect the image of God. This is doing with not only a miracle, it was an unequivocally good thing that conferred a great benefit upon the person being healed. You see, the miracles of Jesus demonstrate his power and authority over creation and the laws of nature, but they also reflect his compassion for people. You don't get the impression that he just performs miracles to impress the crowds. The miracles he does aren't parlor tricks. Instead, he genuinely cares about all the things that hold people captive. And I think that's why he's so concerned about sin. He wants to set us free. He created us to be things that hold us. We can reflect the image of God inside of us instead of reflecting the fallen state of the world around us. Luke tells us what had happened because the mute spoke. It was a miracle, plain and simple, no question about it. Apparently, there were lots of folks present, too. They witnessed, they marveled at what they had just seen because it was way outside of their experience. It was a wonderful thing that simply defied explanation. It occurred. The evidence was undeniable. The one who had been mute could now speak. Praise God. But before we move on, let's just take a moment to talk a little bit about demons. While the idea of demonic possession is largely dismissed in our modern culture, the Bible testifies time and again that demons are real. Evidently, Jesus himself believes that demons exist and that they are responsible for a great deal of suffering in the world. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we're told that we do not wrestle only against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, it may not be a popular notion, demons, and frankly, you may have even been ridiculed by others about it. But you know, physical science simply cannot explain everything. You need only spend a few hours in a prison or a mental hospital to recognize that there are unseen and malevolent forces in ways that are deeply harmful, both to themselves and to others. So however unpopular the notion may be today, one thing is certain: back in the first century, there were few people who would have doubted the existence of demons. And when this tormenting demon was cast out by Jesus, it caused most people. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." Notice there's always a few in every crowd. But they have seen, because it isn't true, but because it conflicts with what they already believe to be true. From the early days of his earthly ministry, Jesus had claimed to be the promised Messiah, and from those to call it blasphemy. Now, the word Beelzebub is used here as just another name for Satan or the devil. Experts tell us it was derived from the name of the pagan god from the Old Testament, Baal, whose name simply means owner or lord. The second half of the name means residence or palace. Thus, Beelzebub may be understood as the lord of the house. Now, that's the way it was used by King Ahaziah back in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. As the story goes, the king had fallen through the lattice of his upper room and was injured. So he sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub whether he would recover from his injury. Now, those messengers, as they were along the way, were met by God's prophet Elijah, who told them that the king had sent them to inquire of a pagan god because there is no true God in Israel. So Elijah sent them back to Ahaziah with the unwelcome message that because the king had put his faith in a false god, he would never leave his bed, but would surely die from his injuries. Incidentally, drastic twist themselves. The meaning of Wul, and it was a title that was proposed as, or here the name seems to be used in its original sense, and it is expressly described as a reference. In mind, it seems clear that these detractors were suggesting that Jesus would. Now, they didn't deny the obvious truth of what Jesus had accomplished. They didn't say, for exorcism had failed to fully and immediately heal the person of Israel that can fall. This was the ultimate blasphemy, their view. They wanted the Lion of Judah, so they couldn't accept the Lamb of God. Not permit were wrong prejudice and fear. We can't lives when prejudice. Verse 16. Others, testing him, sought from him a safe, which just is the latter. These others had just witnessed the same. They didn't attribute. You may have, as some of them had done, they remained unconvinced. Satan told Jesus that the angels would be commanded to keep him from harm. Do not distinction here. It's one thing to ask God for a miracle, quite another thing to. These others wanted to see a real thing still in the seven, I don't know, like the parting of the Red Sea or the, what kind of miracle. Again, there is no say. In terms of deity, it's not wrong to be cautious and to testism to become evidence and always find ourselves demanding something more. Insisting on something more. Is the Bible itself, whose lives have. Satan oppressed this child of God by taking away his voice, gave him Jesus off to set us free. And give each of us a voice that whenever who claimed that he was using demonic forces to cast out demons and those to these dare. Verse 17. And in the house before, complete omniscience, just as though he could read people's minds. Common insight. And he obviously understood logic. But in any case, knowing there the devil, he said to them, every kingdom divided against it as an accepted truth. The implication is that it would to dismiss the minions of the devil. Others have suggested a divided really much for generations. Indeed, continue to destruction of Jesus brings home the point about division and weakness, applying it in the context. If Saint I cast out demons by Beelzebub, demon to torment, used by another to dismiss that demon. To ridicule, this is some kind of war. These men are identified as Pharisees. So not influence, bonding. It's foolish because it makes no logical sense. And it's dangerous to fatal unbelief. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, verse 19, cast them out. John told Jesus they had seen Jesus. You may remember his name, and we tried to 46. Jesus told them, don't stop him. Now, those were presumably Jews who would qualify as sons of. And Jesus didn't malign or reject them. Instead, it seems God himself, the men who did such things. Are they too invoking the power of the devil? The point is that these men would be the first to say that their power to cast out demons didn't come from Beelzebub and accusing people. If Jesus acted by the power, verse 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger, looks to me like Jesus had them backed into a corner. These fins does that to people. What Jesus is doing here has some serious implications, and these men are evidence. The finger of God alludes to the fact that God sometimes uses his supernatural. Back in Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, when the magicians of Egypt challenged Moses with their miracles were genuine, were this God. They acknowledged this before Pharaoh, that the finger of God also. Of course, God doesn't really have fingers. A tendency to apply human traits to someone who is not human. In this case, a version of this calls it the Spirit of God rather than the finger of God. God's power, I mean, his power is so great he doesn't even need to use his whole hand. Such miracles. Yet this display of supernatural power points to a greater truth. The Messiah has inaugurated the kingdom of God on earth. Messiah. That truth will have eternal consequences. These miracles, and if we harden our hearts against the truth, we reject Jesus of conspiring with the devil. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus still loves truth and be saved by it. Jesus earnestly wants this veil of cognitive Disney one. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are regarded as an accessory to Satan. You see, next it seems that the strong man in the story, a person, and Satan's power over the mute was nearly absolute, as if he were indeed a strong man. Also notice how well this terminology fits with the name of Beelzebub. But when a stronger than he came comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes him. So if the mute was possessed by a demon from the pit of hell who took from him life and he, by his evil power, Satan had entered in, and so long as peace, and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and armor and divides his spoils. Jesus has evicted the spirit with the mute. Jesus for who he is. Otherwise, if the space was that the king put our faith in Jesus, he enters our life with the power. It is Revelation 12, verse 11, tells us that believers overcome the influence. You have been declared righteous by God. And if you have opened your heart, is now occupied. He who is not with me is against me. These men who challenged, they did not. This could not believe. Skewed. That same kind of cognitive dissonance. They begin by assuming, explain miraculous describes. Because they cannot accept the truth of lies, their beliefs about what can happen are in conflict with and change their belief to the idea that there is no God. They refuse to see God, even their own views. However, as we look around at creation, even in its fallen, reasonable. Made and fulfilled, it's clear that rejecting what is a point Jesus makes here in verse 23 is that we all face an unavoidable choice. The truth claim died for our sins and rose again. And there is no middle ground. And he who does the gospel with an unbelieving soul. Remember what's at stake. The name of Jesus' belief. Instead, we all put our faith in. So when you seek to share the gospel with an unbelieving soul, they put their hope in. And then remind them, when it is to